Newark, New Jersey. It's the news. Stand by. It's still the news. It's going to be the news here for just a couple minutes here. Just a couple seconds. It's going to be the news. Still the news. It's going to be the news. Just keep hanging on there. It's the news. I guarantee you. It's the news. It's going to be the news here for just a second. It's going to be the news. Yeah, still the news. It's the news. It's still the news. Here we go. News. It's going to be the news. According to me. Oh, wow, that was stressful. I just realized I'm doing my show here from my laptop. I didn't have the music up in front of me. Like I do at home, I just push a button. I've got it on a cue. I just push a button. I can't do that here because I've got this thing going on. Anyway, I'm in Newark, New Jersey. Yeah, one of my favorite places. I don't think I come back here again for at least a month. It took me over a month before I come back here, as far as I know. I think the reason I'm here is because nobody else wants to be here. And it's not so much that I'm not saying anything bad about the town. I mean, it is Newark. It is New Jersey. But I don't have any other reason to be not like being here other than this place where we stay here is in the middle of nowhere. Well, it's not in the middle of nowhere. It's right next to the airport. That's the problem. There's nothing around the airport here other than the airport. So here I am. I do have my cup, though, with me this morning. And I do actually have, even though I ran out of chai at home, I actually have chai in my travel bag. So I do have chai with some kind of generic creamer of some kind. I'm not sure what it is, just vanilla creamer or whatever it is, which is okay. And I got a backup bottle of water to wash it down with, so got that going for me. We have a few things in the news. By the way, it is Tuesday, April 2nd, 8:52 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I have a couple things I'll talk about. So it's going to be a short show because I got some other things I got to get to, but in general, right now, we're looking at a very interesting news cycle. There's all this stuff going on. Now the press corps is coming out and denying that Joe Biden said anything about this national lesbian visibility day or whatever he called Easter. Trans visibility day, whatever it is. Just about every other day, there's something for these people. And it's like, okay, at what point do you just become a normal person and we don't have to have all this stuff in our face? I don't care if what your thing is. Just get it out of my face. I want to get on with life and not have to spend half a day celebrating someone else's differences. I'm sorry. We're all different. Everybody's an individual, or we're all unique. There you go. Let's just have every day be a celebrate your uniquity. Is that a word? Uniqueness. Celebrate individualism day. When do we have that day? These people want to be part of groups. I don't realize how destructive that is. There's a guy with a channel. His name is I think it's White. Is it Black Pigeon Speaks? I think is the name of his YouTube channel. I used to listen to him quite a bit. He was kind of interesting. Had some good, interesting philosophical takes on some things with regard to cultural issues around the globe. He has really gotten bitter lately. I don't know what. I haven't listened to him for a while because he was just kind of rambling on about some stuff for a while. He's kind of gone off in the deep end. He's in a very dark place right now. He's been talking about. I just happened to listen to the one he had on this morning because he was saying something about the red heifer and all that stuff, and he's equating it to some kind of a archaic sacrifice of cows. How society has devolved into this, whatever I'm talking about. And he goes on, this whole thing, he goes on about how archaic it is and how stupid, these people are for, because there were some statements made on October, is it October 8th? October 7th, whatever day it was, when Hamas attacked Israel, there were some people in the leadership of that movement that actually did say I was looking for the quote here. I can't find it. They actually did say that they are concerned about the ashes of the red heifer, that the red heifers that are now in Israel, and they're planning to do the sacrifice of those, and they have to burn them, and then they use the ashes of the red heifer for certain things. Well, the process of that is extremely, what's the word? It's going to inflame the Muslims. The main reason, it's not so much just that it's a red heifer issue. The main issue is that it's because they are going to use those ashes when they want to rebuild the temple. Well, this guy was going off on this whole thing, saying how stupid all this is and how, you know, that we need to move beyond this and it's going to become a self... That evangelicals think of it as they're ushering in the apocalypse and the return of the Messiah. And, of course, the Jews think it's the coming of the Messiah. First of all, I don't like it. I consider myself an evangelical, and I don't like it when people put words in my mouth. When you generalize anything about a particular faith or group or anything that you do, you run the risk of mischaracterizing and not being completely honest with some of the things that are being said. And that's being the case here, because it's... Now, it would be one thing if people would say many or some believe this or that. That's... You know, you could say the same thing about any sect of any religion, but even Mormons. You could say, well, Mormons believe in, you know, polygamy. Some do. Not all of them do. And you just can't make a generalization like that. And without some kind of qualification. Now, I'm probably guilty of that. I've probably done that before. I know Roman Catholics that have a variety of ideas that would not be aligned with the Roman Catholic Church. However, when I talk about the Roman Catholic theology, I'm talking about the organization's official theology, not what individuals believe within that group, because I don't know. It's like Joe Biden claims to be this devout, or Nancy Pelosi claims to be this devout Catholic, and yet they go against the teaching of their church. So it's not quite so devout. Don't call yourself devout. Don't parade that around in front of everybody saying that you are some kind of example to the world. I have nothing but love in my heart. Except when it comes to Donald Trump. Oh. Because he's a disgusting man. He's an animal. Yeah, okay. All you have is love in your heart except for that guy. You know what? There's a point where you come to realize that a human being is a human being. They can do some very disgusting, depraved, bad things to you and to those that you love, those around you. But we as... It's to rise above our humanity and understand that those are people. And as long as they have breath in them, there is this potential for them to repent. There is this potential for them to be redeemed. However, it's a difficult fine line when we step into that role of deciding for them that they are beyond God's help. The best thing for them is to have them eliminated or to have them put away. And that's why our legal system is the way it is. It's so difficult. That's why you're presumed innocent until proven guilty. Because of this very, very thing, we have to be very, very, very careful with this kind of judgment towards others. So, I'm going off on a tangent here. This whole thing with Joe Biden, now he's come out and said he doesn't remember saying anything about that. On Easter, even though there is an official declaration on the White House's website, declaring, making an official declaration of that day being transvisibility, whatever kind of day, whatever it is. That's great. Great, Joe. But he doesn't remember it. Well, that's beside the point, because you don't remember what you had for breakfast. I don't know how this is supposed to be a thing. So, what am I saying? What's the show about? This show is about a whole variety of things. We have a lot of things going on with regard to just some things, some channels that I've kind of watched this morning, kind of gone through. I did watch this one John Stossel thing this morning, and it was interesting. He was talking about how globalization, global trade is good for everybody. It's win-win for everybody. And he kept going on with this whole thing of how when we trade, this happens, when we have open trade. Yeah, when we have open free trade, good things can happen. The more people there are to trade with, the more it opens up more markets, it opens up more possibilities, it opens up the broader spectrum of people to sell our wares to, and to those things that we produce, we can trade for things that we need. It opens that whole process up. This utopia that he's claiming is there for globalization does not exist. And the reason for that is not because trade doesn't work, it's because the people who are involved in controlling and manipulating the trade are getting wealthy off of the transaction. And what I mean by that is they're stepping in to take money in the process, and that's whether it's through taxation. You got this crony capitalistic system where you have money changers, people who are transferring one currency with another, and then you have those who control the trade itself and those who put tariffs on trade. You have all of that happening. And then just the people themselves who are the brokers in the middle of all this stuff that do all the trade, do a lot of trade work. And you have the shippers and all that kind of thing. It kind of boils down to other people actually doing grunt work. But it's this wide, vast variety of people. And the problem is that these brokers, these middlemen, these people in the middle of all this, and the people who exchange money and funds and handle those transactions, the bankers, are in crony with the powers that be, which would be Congress and the leadership of nations, whichever nation that might be, to control and manipulate and get wealthy off the backs of others. This is what you have. So in this process of me trading, let's say I have I've got a saw and I can cut lumber and I can make a chair. So I take my chair and I trade it. I take it to the market. Someone gives me a bunch of eggs for that. Well, that gives me energy, so I can eat those eggs and I can go make another chair. Or maybe they give me enough eggs for that chair that I can trade those eggs then for somebody else that's hungry for something that they have that I need. So maybe I need some gasoline for my car. I can trade them for that gasoline. And maybe I still even have more eggs left over. And I can go trade them, trade that for some more wood to make them another chair. Like, I got a lot of eggs for that chair. It's a nice chair. So you have all these things that happen. Well, then in the process of this, now I've also got gasoline, I've got my car, I can now use that as a mode of also generating more productivity. To go pick up the wood, to go, make trades with other people. Now, in the midst of all this, you have a government that decides that, oh, well, you guys are trading over there. I think we need to step in here and take a few of your eggs. Because, they deserve it. Because, taxes, death and taxes, you got to have that, right? Because you guys are doing, what did you do for me? Well, we provided the road for you to go. Well, I paid for that road. That came out of the gasoline that I bought, with the tax on the gasoline that I bought that pays for that road. Oh, well, yeah, but we still have to have, because you got an income, you increased, and so therefore you have to pay for that, to pay the. So if I wouldn't have traded anything, I could have just kept my chair, and not paid you anything. Well, yeah, but then you can't survive. Because this, you know, because your life has to do that. So, yeah, that's the problem. This is my life. I'm trading my life for this. The chair didn't just happen. It didn't just pop out of the wood. I had to create something. I had to expend my life doing that. My energy. But the government thinks that they should take some of that. This is why I believe that income tax and property tax are immoral. I go out and I work hard. I buy something. And then the government wants to tax me for having it. I paid taxes when I bought it. But now they want to charge me every year that I own that. They want to charge me tax for having it, for owning it. That's one thing if it's a one-time tax. When I go to buy something and they charge me sales tax. Let's say I go out to buy a lawnmower and they want to charge me, that's a $4,000 lawnmower, and they want to charge me 7% sales tax, whatever they're going to charge me. If I pay the $300, whatever it's going to be. And in the process of doing that, I've paid that. Now, imagine, if you will, if every year they came back and said, we need that $300 again, or we're going to take your mower away. Well, who really owns the mower? I just bought it. I bought the right to rent it. That's what I bought. I didn't actually buy the mower. Same thing with our property. We bought the right to rent our property from the state. Because if you don't pay it, you don't pay your property tax, guess who gets to come take that property away from you? So who really owns it? Well, you don't own it. You have the right to rent it. That's what you have. I think it's immoral. Because after paying my income tax, I use the money that I have left over to buy this property, and then you're going to charge me tax on the property that I've purchased. And everything I buy to maintain that property, you're going to charge me sales tax for it. That's how it works, folks. If we realized how much tax we pay, now, most people don't realize what their income tax is because they get it taken out of their check before they even see it. So they don't even notice that they don't feel it as much. I guarantee you, go ahead and not have any taxes taken out of your check and pay at the end of the year. See how you feel at the end of the year when you have to pay out $40,000. Imagine how that feels. Or if you have to pay $4,000 or $5,000 every quarter, pay them quarterly. You'll feel it. You realize it's there. It's immoral, folks. It is immoral. And they have the nerve to come back and say, oh, Warren Buffett pays a smaller tax rate than you do. Well, Warren Buffett probably shows that he makes himself personally, he makes probably $12,000 a year. Because everything is paid for him. His companies send him places. His companies own the airplanes. His companies do all these things. In fact, I think he owns controlling shares in an aircraft company, travel company, I think, I believe. I don't know if he still owns Wheels Up or if he sold it out. I'm not sure what he could do with that. I think he owns quarter share. ExecJet. Who's your ExecJet? Well, Jets, whatever it is. So he just has them take him around. His corporation pays. He lives on the fat of the corporation. Now, granted, the corporation pays taxes. The companies that he owns pay taxes. Most of them do. Unless they show a loss, then of course they don't. But you're playing that shell game too. But he personally, he has this, he always says, well, my secretary pays more in taxes than I do. Well, then your secretary is probably showing that she earns more than you do, which is a lie. It's just, all you're doing is lying. Because your companies pay more tax than you personally do. It's immoral to even suggest that. But it's now corporate tax, I still have a problem with that. I have a problem with the whole corporate situation, the whole corporate structure, the way the corporates are designed. Even LLCs. I don't have an LLC. I have a business, but I don't have an LLC. And there's reasons for that. Everybody says, "Well, liability." You can get liability insurance. Okay, you can separate yourself from all those things. Well, lawsuits, they're going to sue. Yeah, well, they can sue you anyway. If you get an LLC and you go out and you have a, let's say you have a lawn landscaping business and you're out there working and you got a couple employees and one of your employees does something stupid, and you go to fix it, and it breaks worse. Now you got this situation where you busted somebody's foundation on their home, or whatever you did. It's a major issue. You personally did something there. The LLC cannot protect you from that. They can jump right through that and say, you did that, and so we're going to sue you because you were the one that did it. We're not going to sue your company. They can sue the company. They can sue the LLC, but they can also sue you as an individual. And you rent a car. If you rent that car and you drive that car through a crowd of people, if the car breaks and you had lost control of the car, well, now we got a whole different story. They may not sue you, but they could. They could sue you. Especially if you knew that the car was not well maintained. If you knew anything about that car, possibly potentially breaking, and you went out and drove it, they can sue you as an individual. Even though you rented the car, they can sue the rental car company. They can sue the car manufacturing company or any mechanic that worked on that car and tried to fix the problem that it had. They can sue everybody involved. It doesn't matter. And in fact, they can sue the mechanic who did the work, even though he's working for a company that possibly is an LLC. And they can also sue the LLC. You can't totally protect yourself from these things, but the LLC, here's the problem I have with the LLC and the DBA and all that stuff. Or not the DBA, but the corporate sub S and sub chapter C. It becomes an entity of the state. I ran into this at one point. I had a sub S corporation. I had two LLCs all at the same time. The state actually is the master of that corporation. They can dissolve it. They can do whatever they want to with it. It is a very risky thing unless you trust your government, which I would say, if you trust your government. Now, I've had liberals confront me about, I'm concerned that you don't trust your government. You don't trust your government. When Donald Trump is in charge, all of a sudden, you don't trust anything the government's doing. If Donald Trump tells me I need to take that shot, I'm not going to take that shot. These are people who are leaders in our government saying things like that. But as soon as Donald Trump's out of office, everybody needs to take the shot. It's mandatory. Oh, okay, so now we're supposed to take it because you're telling us to. When Donald Trump told us to, we weren't supposed to do it. This is how ridiculous this stuff is. Well, folks, I don't know, I've just been kind of on this ramble, and I've actually been going a little longer than I had planned on going, but here we are, still rambling. There's no end to my rambling. There is going to be a show tomorrow morning from Cleveland. I'll be putting some show prep together for that particular show. It should be a little bit better. I do have an issue at my house. Apparently there's no water pressure. I don't know what... This stuff always happens after I leave. In fact, I'm going to be gone for almost 7 days on this particular trip. And, of course, at home, the water pressure dies. This is why we have bottles of water. I always keep bottles of water. We have an RO system, a reverse osmosis system, and we just rotate those bottles for the animals and for ourselves. We just keep rotating water bottles. So we have all this water. Now, my wife still goes out and buys water. So, we got that going for us. I'm not sure why we buy water other than that. She does like this one kind of water, which is fine, but why not just, if we're going to haul bottles of water around, we just might as well just haul bottles of water around. I don't know why I spent the money on an RO system, but they've been installing it and all that stuff. But I use it, and the dogs use it, and the cats use it. So I guess us lowly lives, we will continue to use the water that comes out of the ground. Highly filtered water that comes out of the ground. So we have tomorrow's show. Tomorrow will be Wednesday, I believe. Is that right? Tomorrow's Wednesday. And we will have a show from Cleveland. Springfield, Illinois, actually will have a much better chance of having a good show from Springfield when we get there on Thursday morning. And then Friday's a crapshoot. I would not guarantee any kind of a show on Friday this week. So Thursday, I'm hoping to have enough time to actually put together a show that has some sound clips and sound bites. Even though it'll be a little bit difficult from the laptop that I have here, it's a little bit difficult for me to do that. But I will try to do the best I can with the. Actually, I might have the new software I have for my Rodecaster Pro might actually be able to do that from my laptop. So we'll give that a try and see how that works out. But not sure how that's going to work. Once again, folks, it is a it's going to be a tough news cycle. Lots of things happening. And it is very important that we stay in prayer. I believe that Christians will continue to be vilified in these last days, that there will be a revival that will break out at the same time that there will be vilification of Christians, of evangelicals, of those who are Bible-believing Christians, followers and disciples, I think are going to be more and more persecuted and prosecuted in the near future. So I think it's important that we stay on our knees, pray for each other, pray for those who will be new in the faith, those who are new believers especially. Folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your day.